Most of you know by now that I'm Canadian. And a very proud Canadian, also now a proud American, but still a very proud Canadian. And those of us who find ourselves down in these parts tend to carry a lot of pride with us. You know, we have that pride at home, but especially when we're not at home. And one of my best friends, whose wedding I happened to be at last weekend in Toronto, I have very fond memories of the two of us plus another expat in New York. Does anyone remember the Canada versus the U.S.? Thank you. The hockey game. Yes. The goal, right? Who won that one? Yeah, Jeff. Anyone remember who won? Yes. Okay. I won't gloat, but these were certainly friends with whom we ran around New York City after that win with Canadian flags draped down our backs as capes. We have a lot of national pride. And I was so moved this past weekend at the wedding, where, by the way, there were more than 16 rabbis. It was one rabbi marrying another rabbi with two rabbis performing the wedding and more rabbis in the bridal party. That's where I was, yeah. And in their ketubah, in the ketubah we know that you often see your town written out in Hebrew letters and it always looks a little bit strange. But they added something that I was very moved by. One of the issues that Canada is going through is a reckoning with the fact that a lot of the land has been taken from the First Nations. We call the Native Americans in this country. And in their ketubah, they actually acknowledged that they were getting married on the ancestral lands of the Mississauga tribe. And they mentioned a few others. I think the Cree and Iroquois, but we say Iroquois in Canada. And I was so moved that as somebody who was so very patriotic, that in his most sacred of documents, his marital documents, he and his wife wanted to put that significant issue of Canadian social justice at the beginning of that contract. That they said that social and sacred responsibility is at the foundation of their partnership, at the foundation of their marriage. We have a very powerful parsha this week, Parshat Ekev, that manages to use different words to tell us the same thing over and over again. You better do what is holy. And if you do what is holy, things will go well for you. It says right at the beginning, and if you do obey these rules and observe them carefully, the Lord your God will maintain faithfully for you the covenant that he made on oath with your fathers. He will favor you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the issue of your womb and the produce of your soil, your new grain and wine and oil, the calving of your herd and the lambing of your flock in the land that he swore to your fathers to assign to you. And it keeps on going that God then subjected us. You know, we're learning about our journeys, that God subjected us to hunger and then gave us manna, which no one before had ever known. It was this magical food. And the message of that, the text says, is that man may live on anything that the Lord decrees. And so our journey through the wilderness was about learning that we need to trust in God. And that we can trust in God and we can trust that which is holy. Because we're coming from a society where we worship, or where at least the population is supposed to worship, the political leader and the ruling class. And the state itself is understood as something divine. And then we're taught, no, Human beings are human beings. Institutions are social constructs. But God is God. And so we're told that as long as we follow the mitzvot, as long as we're told that we walk in God's path, which can go beyond the mitzvot to all that which is holy, we receive blessing. And the same especially goes for the land of Israel, which is given to us on condition that we live sacred lives, that we do what is just and right, and that we live in relationship with God. And we're explicitly told that if we don't live those holy lives, we're going to get the boot. Right? In good Canadian manner. We won't even have time to think about it. We'll be booted. Right, and the two exiles, the first exile, we weren't observing mitzvot, and the second exile, Rabbi Dantowitz taught us the other few weeks ago now, was because we were just engaged in senseless hatred with each other. And so, we learn that living well wherever we are, the first thing we have to do above all else is be holy, live sacred lives, and it is to that principle, to the many principles of our Torah, that we must be completely devoted. And these principles, for the most part, they have treated us well. They have served us well. As far as living throughout the world, we have principles of Dina de Malchuta Dina, that the law of the land, wherever we are, that is the law. And we must observe it. And the only times when we cannot observe the law of the land is when they are unjust, and then we must work to change them. We have an incredible principle of Mipnei Darchei Shalom, for the sake of peace. We have changed halacha because we needed to do something different to live well with our neighbors. And we have the lofty version of that, which is we want peace with everyone. We want to live well with our neighbors. And, you know, the other side of the coin is we don't want our neighbors to want to kill us. So it's best to be in good relationship. And though we have faced a lot of persecution over time, every group that has sought to wipe us out, we have survived them. Sometimes barely, sometimes at great loss, but still living by these principles upon which Western civilization is in large part based, we are the only ancient civilization that remains. And people have asked whether by living by our own tenets we can be part of society. Napoleon asked 12 famous questions to the Jewish people when it was time to emancipate the masses and bring everyone under France. And Napoleon asked us all sorts of important questions to find out if Jews can actually also be Frenchmen. He asked questions like, are we allowed to marry non-Jews? More importantly, do we consider Frenchmen our brethren? Or are they strangers? How do we behave according to our law with non-Jews? Do we behave with them as we do with Jews? Or do we treat them differently as inferiors? Are we bound to France's laws? And what is within a rabbi's legal jurisdiction? And if a rabbi says it, does that mean you break France's law? What professions can we engage in? What can we not? And Napoleon asked that we convene a Sanhedrin, a rabbinic council, to answer on behalf of all of France's Jews. And what did we do? We convened. And we stuck to our principles. But we explained how our principles very much fit in with French society. And that we, as good Jews, would also be good French people. Sometimes I wonder if I can truly be a good citizen because I have three nations I call my home. You know, while I'm not a citizen of Israel, I very much feel Israel to be my home. And I'm a citizen of two countries. And the answer is, yes, I can. Because I believe that being a good citizen is doing what is right and working hard on behalf of our communities and striving for justice for all in the places in which we live and doing everything that we can to work for that justice, which includes, I'm now privileged to say, voting and participating at all levels of society. And doing those things, that is living Jewishly. That is living according to our covenantal responsibilities. You know, given the conversations of this past week, a lot of us have the issue of loyalty to the states on our mind. And it was sitting with me for a while, and I started to think, how does it that we explain that as Jews we can be loyal to multiple places, that we can be loyal to multiple entities? And it suddenly occurred to me, this is a false dichotomy. It is not one or the other. It is not equivalent. Our connection with Israel is as a sacred land. Our connection with America is this is our home. This is our nation. Some people too believe this is a sacred land. And it is not a zero-sum game. But differently, the loyalty that I have heard said this week is not the same kind of loyalty that must be at the center of our souls. True loyalty for us, that goes back to the beginning. As Jews, our primary concern needs to be loyalty to that which is holy, to that which is good, to that which we call God and God's teaching. And by following this, we will then be loyal wherever we need to be, wherever we are, because that is what it is to be Jewish and to be a good citizen. We have to live well. We have to be good. We have to make good wherever we find ourselves. And our tradition demands that where we see injustice in our communities or abroad, we fight that injustice. When we see justice, we participate in it. And that wherever we are, whether we are citizens or not, we work for the betterment of our community. We work for the betterment of our nation, of our peoples, and for this world and for humanity. So, I say that we hold loyalty to our Torah and to God. And in doing so, we will be excellent citizens.